and thank you for joining this week's podcast with the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams. In this powerful message, the Archbishop focuses on the impact, role, and relevance that our minds have in releasing the abundant life of the believer. This message will empower you and show you the critical need to be reprogrammed by and through the Word of God. Receive exclusive strategic prayers and special sermons when you subscribe to Archbishop Nick's podcast. With three levels of membership starting at just $5 a month, become a partner for change. Know today that this is God's word of deliverance for you. Be empowered as you listen.
I began a message and I talked about reprogramming and the power of programming, and also the dangers of programming and what programming does and can do to an individual is biologically proving that sometimes we come up with certain programmings even for our mother's womb. For instance, it's believed that a mother has maybe two or three daughters, girls, and desire to have a boy to please the husband. And she takes in a seed, and after a couple of months goes to the doctor, and they come back to her after investigation that she's pregnant with a girl, another girl, and she's disappointed. She's disappointed that it's a girl and not the boy that she desired and wanted. And so that disappointment registers rejection in the subconsciousness of the child. So the child is born and has tendencies of a boy. She's a girl, but she acts like a boy. Puts her feet in her father's shoe and always hanging with boys and don't want to have anything to do with girls. And I was in London recently at a place, and when we got to the reception, there were two men there, but the one had all the features of a woman, hair, everything, but he was built as a man, and the voice was that of a man, but everything about her was a woman. And I've faced those kinds before, and I said, wow. But sometimes we are quick to judge people and to come to conclusions, but you got to be careful, because you see, that young girl whose mother wanted a boy when she took seed of her, after a while, and some of these things are deliverance issues and reprogrammings, if it's not dealt with from the perspective of deliverance, you realize that after many years, that girl comes to the father and the mother and says, Dad or Mom, I feel like I am a man trapped in a woman's body. And that is serious. And I've seen people who go and do all kinds of procedures to become a man or to become a woman. And if you study it carefully, it began from their mother's womb, and it is programming. And we are all products of our environment. And we are wired in different ways, and we grow up with certain programming that determines our mentality, choices, decisions, outcomes in life. If you look at the British people, they are programmed differently than the American. The Ghanaians are programmed differently than the Nigerians. We are all programmed in particular ways, depending on our upbringing, culture, nationalities and things. We all grow up in certain ways, and we are products of our environment and our upbringing if we are not very careful. The other day, Jesus walked through a town and saw a blind man who wanted healing. And Jesus said, I can't heal you in this environment, because the environment you find yourself in is the reason for the blindness. So I need to get you out. I need to take you out of this environment, heal you, and send you back in. So Jesus took his hand, walked him out of the city, and healed him. And said, what seest thou? The blind man said, I see men as trees walking. And the Bible said, and Jesus touched him the second time. Turn to somebody and say, you need a second touch. You need a second touch. So Jesus touched him the second time and said, what seest thou? He said, I see all men clear as men. And Jesus said something very interesting. Jesus said, go home, but don't go back to the village, or don't go back to the town, but go home. Don't go back to the cause and the reason for your blindness. Don't go back to the same environment. Don't go back to what made you blind, but go home. And many a times we get well and heal, and then we go back to the same cause. We go back to the same reason. And it's very dangerous. And I realize that programming is such a serious thing that if we play with it, there is a possibility it can even rob you of entering into heaven. It's a very serious thing, as I've watched and seen people over the years, and how we can easily miss it, and how we are proud, very, very proud of our backgrounds. And the Bible says that you have made the word of God of none effect through the tradition. Traditions are very powerful, that it can sabotage and undermine the word of God and your faith in Almighty God. Traditions, programmings, where you come from. You are either a product of your environment, or you are transforming your environment. If you don't transform it, it will deal with you. It will deal with you. I refuse to act as a Ghanaian. I am not a Ghanaian, and I am not Ga or Ashanti or a Nigerian. I am the Redeemer of the Lord. I'm the Redeemer of the Lord. The Bible said, let the Redeemer of the Lord, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, say so. Somebody say, say so. I am transformed from my earthly citizenship, and I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And I refuse to allow where I've come from and what I've been through, the traumas of my youth or upbringing, to determine the outcomes of my circumstances. I refuse to see through the programming of my past. I refuse to allow what is embedded in my subconsciousness to determine who I am, what I do, choices I make, how I see in life. It's all about programming and understanding that unless you transform where you are and your situation, you conform to your circumstances. It's common to conform. It's uncommon to transform. Romans 12 and 2. Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the... You see, two things. Two words. Very powerful. You either conform or you transform. There is no middle ground. No middle ground. Light or darkness. White or black. It is what it is. You are either conforming to the demands and the standards of this world and your culture, your tradition, your past, and the reasoning and the arguments of men, or you are transforming so you don't conform to the demands of men and to the human nature. Conform or transform. That is what it is. No middle ground. Go ahead.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The mind is so powerful. The mind is so powerful. When anything goes wrong with the head and the mind, it affects the entire body. Because the mind thinks. The ability to see is connected to the head. The ability to hear is connected to the head. The ability to smell, to sense, is connected to the head. The ability to think is connected to the head. The ability to speak for the entire body is connected to the head. So the mind is so powerful, and the enemy is very good at doing everything through demonic programmings, through programmings of trauma, challenges, setback, disappointment, insecurity, violence, rejection of one's upbringing and past, to determine what one becomes in life. And a lot of people accept who they are by saying, irrespective of what scripture has to say, as for me, this is who I am. That is the way I am. I'm this, I'm that. You are nothing but what the word of God says. Are you hearing me, somebody? Somebody say, well, I'm telling you the truth. Hear me. There is only one truth in the world. There is only one truth, and that truth is the word of God. Come on, somebody, put your hands together. Only one truth. Jesus said, thy word is truth. That's it. One truth. No other truth but the word of God. Thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. So in life, you can conform until the day you die or transform. You can speak in tongues, be born again, perform signs, wonders, miracles, and have all the understanding and knowledge of scripture. But until you allow your mind to be reprogrammed, until your mind is deprogrammed and reprogrammed, you will act like an unsaved person, even though your spirit is born again. I was telling them at the first service that nothing surprises me anymore. I'm not surprised when I hear anything about men of God, women of God, prophet, apostle, teachers, evangelists, elders, deacons. I don't care how long you are born again. When I hear believers acting a certain way, acting like unbelievers, doing things they used to do before they got saved and born again, and then you hear people say that, well, I thought that Christians should know better. Well, I came from the world to church and look at the kinds of things happening in church. How can these people be Christians? How do you call yourself Christians? As if you are acting like a Christian. Because you are not acting like a Christian. Because if you're a Christian, you will not judge others. Because true Christians don't judge. I'm telling you, and I'll show you why you can. You must not judge. You shouldn't. But I don't get surprised. And I'm never surprised to see people acting certain ways. I'm not talking about unsafe people. I'm talking about church folks. Because I've been in church for a long time. And I see things about church folks that don't surprise me anymore. And I know that it is very, very common and easy to conform. But it is uncommon to transform. Because transforming is through renewing of your mind. And renewing of your mind is a process. Put your hands together and say, process, 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 process. Because until you are renewed, you will not be able to differentiate between the good and the bad and the acceptable will of God or perfect will of God. Everything goes. You are a believer and yet you drink, and yet you do everything an unbeliever does, and you do things you used to do before you got born again, and to you it's acceptable. It is okay. Because your mind is not renewed, even though your spirit is born again and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and you are gifted and you are anointed and you have provision. But yet you don't understand what it means to be transformed. So you are acting like everybody else. You get angry, you are provoked, you get mad, you use language, you do things, you have a bad attitude, and you always think that people don't like me, and I don't like the way people treat me. They are jealous of me. They are envious of me. And most times, it's not because people are jealous or envious of you. It has to do with your programming, you yourself. Because your programming determines your attitude. And attitude is everything. You see, some women are attracted to abused men. And some men are attracted to abused women. Yeah. I'm writing a book entitled The Dangers. Is it the red light? Bishop Sander, what is the title?
It's Red Flags of Marriage.
Red Flags of Marriage. The five men no woman must marry from Bible point of view. And the five women no man must marry. It's all in the Bible. And I'll say that one of the most dangerous things is to marry a good person, but not the right person. And you won't realize it now until you grow up. Yeah, one day you will grow. And you will find me when I'm old and gray-headed. And say, Papa, you said something and I want to tell you that it is true. Because you see, somebody can be a good Christian, but it's not the right person for you. And it's not the best person for you. Being good is not enough. Because you see, the enemy of the right person and the best person for you is good. Let me say it again. The enemy of the right and the best person for you, is good. Because sometimes you see people, they are so good people that you settle for good, because sometimes you look around and you don't know who to settle for. So you find somebody and they are so good and you settle for it. But good is not enough. So you can settle for good and miss it. The Bible said, thou shalt not yoke the ox with the donkey. The ox, the cow, and the donkey. Why? Because the donkey is programmed in a way different from how the cow or the ox is programmed. Two different programmings. And when you bring the donkey and the ox together, you are dealing with different programmings. Conflict of destiny, conflict of direction. There's always going to be a problem. And these are real things we don't want to deal with. The church, we just want to quote scripture, say the Bible says, the Bible says. No. But these are real things. If you are not careful and you yoke yourself to somebody who is a good person, but is programmed in a particular way, sees things in a particular way, moves in a certain direction that is in conflict with God's plan and will for your life, you argue over everything, you fight over everything, cry over everything, and yet you are two good people. You don't have to clap. I believe what I'm saying, because I've done my research. Before I come and stand here, I know I'm speaking to the world. So I do my research very, very, very well. And I have somebody who is very, very good in research. I learn things by my wife first. I say, babe, this is what I'm going to say. What do you think? And she's no joke. She will critique everything. So before I come and stand here, I've been critiqued by the best. Are you hearing me, somebody? Say yes. So if you don't watch these things, programmings are very powerful. And I've seen people in life program in a certain way, you can't help them. There are people that I will not even pray for them. I won't spend my time and energy praying for them, because my prayers will not work. Why? They are programmed in a certain way, and the way they are programmed will interfere and block even your prayers, because God cannot override the will of anybody. God cannot override your will nor my will. So I don't spend my energy praying for everybody. I only pray for people that I know are open and are willing. Amen. I don't like your amen.
That ye may prove what
give is. Me some high energy praise. Come on.
It says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
You can miss the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God if your mind is not renewed. You will act like an unsaved person. Sometimes you see believers cursing, and you see believers acting in a certain way. You know, I was telling them in the first service that one of the best Christians and believers I've seen and worked with for over 46 years is Bishop Nyako. Yeah. A lot of other Christians and believers, they easily get angry. They are easily offended. They are easily hurt. They are bitter by everything. And I watched Bishop Nyako. He's been consistent over 46 years. I've never seen him angry. Sometimes I've tried to tempt him myself, and he just looks at me some way. It's like, where are you coming from? You know? But for me, I've been tempted several times. Oh, yes. I'm coming from a very raw background. Are you hearing me? I'm not an angel. My father was not an angel. Neither was my mother an angel. Neither was I born an angel. I come from some very terrible background. Are you hearing me? And I've been tempted. Yeah. Sometimes I've been tempted, like Moses, came from a background, programmed in a certain way from his great grandfather, had the programming of an anger issue, and it stopped him from entering into the promised land. As great as Moses was and how close he was with God, negative programming prevented him from entering the promised land. This thing is very serious and it's very scary. Programming can cause you to have a bad attitude. When you look at people with an attitude of arrogance, pride, you know, it's all programming. It's the way they've been programmed. The way people are programmed makes them to believe a particular thing, a way of life, a lifestyle. No humility. I was telling my children the other day, I said, one of these days, I will show you people where I came from. I was talking to Pastor Isu the other day at Bulga, and I said, Pastor Isu, have you ever been to Tinomsolco? He said, yes. Some indigenous from Bolgatanga don't know Tinomsolco. Sometime I talked to Justice Yoni Kolendi, and I said, Justice, do you know Wapani at Wa? Jejereyiri at Wa? He said, yes, I know Wapani. And I said, I used to live at Wapani. I used to play at Dondoli at the north. And I intentionally say those things to remind myself where I have come from. That me, I cannot be arrogant and I cannot be proud, because I don't deserve anything. I am a product of mercy and grace. And some of you, the reason why you can't talk about your past and where you've come from is because you are so disciplined and you are so organized and you studied and you've been to Yale and your father was this and your mother was that. Me, my father was nothing. Whatever I am has nothing to do with who my father or my mother was. It has everything to do with the message of God. It has everything to do with this one thing, that it is not him that willeth nor him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. It has everything to do with Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. I am nothing because of the color of my skin or the school I went to, because I've seen people who went to better school than I. They've studied. They have masters of that, masters of this and of that, speak better English than I. And yet, I look at them and look at myself and I realize how blessed I am. I realize how blessed I am, and therefore, I can't take credit for anything but to humble myself. I cannot be arrogant. I remember the other day God said to David's prophet, Nathan, he said, Nathan, go talk to David and tell David, that says the Lord. He's a great king. He's a prophet. He's a priest. And he's a king. And he's a man after my heart. But tell him to remember that he was a shepherd boy and that he was following the sheep at the backside of the desert. Before I chose him, made him a king, and gave him his master's throne, tell David, David, you are a king, but remember who you were before you became a king. And you know, all of us, there is the tendency of forgetting anytime we are a little blessed, anytime we are a little gifted, anytime we have influence, access, and we start trending, and we have material blessings and provision, it gets into our head, and you forget where you have come from. I was telling my daughter the other day, I said, Elsie, one of these days, I need to show you where I used to stay. And I said, I used to sell PK at Opera Square. And I used to sleep at the train station. I said, I want to show you a place called Old Danso Mami and Chemwena. I used to live there. And I said, I want you to see where I've come from. And I want you to understand, when you people think I'm too forgiving, it's not that I'm too forgiving, but I understand that he that has been forgiven of much is required of you to also learn to forgive much. And it's not that I'm too merciful, because I can be mean. There is a part of me that can be very mean, but For me, it hurts to be mean because I have obtained so much mercy that it's difficult for me not to show mercy, because blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And I realize that when you have children in this life, then you must learn to show mercy. Because you never know when any of your children or grandchildren will be in need and will have a need of mercy. And God will look upon the mercy. You've shown the children of others to show you mercy. So I am very careful when I'm dealing with people's children. I will always go the extra mile. So when you cut against me and when you come at me, you will never win. I'm telling you. You will never win, because I'll go the extra mile to my own head to show you mercy and kindness. And the day you cut against me, it is your loss. Makalu watasa. Silei tu kalibasa. Masulu kawahadalas. Come with me to Proverbs. No, before Proverbs, come with me to Romans 7:23.
But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members.
You see? So, everybody say, inner conflict. Yeah. The ongoing conflict, the ongoing battle, the ongoing war. Within, you are sitting there looking pretty and great, but there's an ongoing war. Something is contending with your new nature. Your new man, the old nature, is pulling you. Something is triggering you to misbehave, to err, to sin, to slip, to stumble, to fall. And we call it programmings. Programming. Some people call it triggers. They give it different names. But whatever name you give it to, it's a program. It's a programming coming from your past. And it is warring with a new man. You are born again. And you must learn to be gentle. And there's another side of you that is opposing the gentleness. Kindness. Peace. Long suffering, temperance, love, joy. There's no joy among us anymore. We prefer, that's the fruit of the Spirit. Long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. These things don't exist among us anymore. You know what exists the most among us? The gifts, the anointing, the provision. Today, provision and gifts and anointing is the most attractive thing in the church. But hear me, if your gift, your provision, your anointing is more than your character, you are in trouble. Because you can be gifted, you can have provision, you can be anointed and miss it. But there is no way you can miss it if you are walking in the fruit of the Spirit. And what shows your spirituality and your maturity is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, faith. Are you hearing me, somebody? These are the things. Meekness. How meek are you? What is the meaning of meekness? Strength or power under control. What does that mean? It means that I have the power to defend myself, and yet I will not defend myself. I have the power to explain myself when it hurts the most. I've been in situations when it hurts, and I have something to say, and the Lord will restrain me and said, say nothing. And I say to myself, say what? Nothing? When I'm being misunderstood, and I know what to say to clear myself, and the Lord said, clear yourself of what? What are you going to clear yourself of? Jesus was of no reputation. The Lord Jesus emptied himself of all reputation, despising the shame. He despised the shame. Why are you trying to explain yourself? And it is believed that when you are explaining, you are losing. It is also said that silence cannot be quoted. It is also said that what you are quiet about dies naturally, but what you keep talking about, you keep alive. So why talk about it? I can't explain. I have nothing to say. But that is where long suffering comes in. That is where temperance, meekness sets in. When you are being misunderstood and you have a lot to say, and yet the Lord says, if you explain yourself, I will not defend you. Like Joseph, if you explain yourself, I will not vindicate you. But if you hold your peace and you say nothing, I'll fight for you. And I understand that vindication is in the womb of time. And the problem we all have is between now and then, that middle there, that you are being misrepresented. And you have a lot to explain and to say. And people call you, what's going on? Papa, what's happening? And you said nothing. Nothing. It hurts, and we don't want to endure the pain. So we want to explain the pain. We want to justify our hurt and the pain. And the more you do that, God says, okay, you know how to fight for yourself, you're on your own. Go ahead, deal with it. I hold my peace. If anybody tells you that being a Christian is simple and easy, they just deceived you and lied to you. Being a believer means going through process. Somebody say process, 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 process. And none of us want to go through process. We want the easy way out, but there is no easy way. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be a Jesus, but to trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, good and glory He said. While we do His glory, I abide with us here, and with all who will trust and obey. Middle ground is trust, obey, or forget it. You can't explain yourself. Come with me to Proverbs 27, 23 and the 7th verse. Proverbs 23 and verse 7.
For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee.
So, this word heart here, when you look at it carefully, is dealing with programming of the subconscious mind. The things that are planted and embedded in the subconscious mind is what determines one attitude or thinking in life. You think a particular way, and the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. So you are what you are programmed to be. You think that way. You see in that particular direction. Come with me to Numbers. Numbers 13, 27 and 28. Look at 3 million people that came out of bondage, the land of Egypt, who had slavery mentality. They were programmed as grasshoppers. And as much as God performed miracles, 10 miracles in Egypt, baptized them through the Red Sea, with all the wonders of Adonai and everything God did to promise them that you are no more slaves and your children will never be slaves, I brought you into a new season. It's a new day. It's a new beginning. Their programming did not allow them to enter the promised land to the extent that they provoke God to anger. Now, anyone who can provoke God is very anointed. Almighty God, long-suffering. If you look at the things that God is and how a human being can provoke God and compel God to literally repent and go back at his promise. And God said, even though I have promised to bring you into the promised land, because of this your programming of slavery mentality, that all your life and your ancestors were slaves, and you won't change that kind of mindset and thinking, I swear that you will not see the promised land. 3 million people came out. Only 2 entered. 2 out of 3 million. Is that a possibility? That if we are not careful, we might also be denied of entering into it. That possibility is there. Because sometimes you see believers, even when you are trying to help them, they will fight you. Tell them, you can't think that way. You can't say that. Believers don't act that way. Sometimes I realize that it's very easy to curse your country and your nation. I live in Ghana. I feel everything happening and going on. And sometimes there is the temptation and the tendency of cursing your country, cursing your economy by the things you say, especially with 2024 election coming. When you hear the things going on, what people are doing, the schemings, the conspiracy, the strategy, the attitude, and the way people just act all for power, I look at them and I pity them. Somebody said, will you ever consider being a president? I said, no. I know what I'm called to be. And woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Are you hearing me, somebody? That is not my calling. That is not my place. I am called to be a preacher. I know my calling. For this purpose came I into the world, to proclaim the truth and the word of God. And that is it for me. Nothing else matters but to preach the word of God. I desire nothing. I want nothing but preaching the word. And that is it. I need no other argument. I need no other argument. Nor confused about any other assignment but that for which I was apprehended of him that apprehended me. I know my call, and I know that this is the reason for which I came and I was born, and nothing else confused me, and nothing matters whatsoever. Nothing. Everything is secondary. To me, what is priority is preaching the word of God, and I will not compromise anything for preaching of the word. This is the reason for which I was born, preaching the word of God. That's it. Malakutu kadisaya, meleitu kali kowan salim devalun kibala kasalahasa. Say amen.
And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey.
Yes, sir.
And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there.
You see, so they were programmed as slaves. And they said, everything God said about the land is true. And this is the evidence of what God said. The fruits, a land that flows with milk and honey. And they said, nevertheless, but irrespective of what God has said and promised us, we can't take the land. Why? Because they saw themselves as slaves. They were programmed as slaves, as grasshoppers. And they said, even though that says the Lord, and the report of the Lord is true, we still cannot accept it. We're struggling with it. We can't accept it. Look at Numbers 13, 30 to 31.
And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.
You know, Caleb, Joshua, were the two among the 3 million that made it, because they had a different attitude. They had a different mentality. They chose to be spirit-driven and spirit-led. And sometimes when you choose to be spirit-driven and spirit-led, you become like, you know, they have names they call that kind and type. You feel like there's something wrong with you. You are old school and you don't get it and you are some way. Sometimes my children, I know how they think about me. You know, when we go out, I don't go anywhere. I let them go shop, and I don't have the anointing to shop. You know, and I've told Rosa, after 1 hour, my anointing to shop leaves me. After that, I can be provoked and tempted. Are you hearing me? One time we went to a place in London, and you know, women with shopping, what she needed was just there. I was expecting her, just take the thing, pay for it, and let's go. She said, no, wait, let me go. And she was all over the place. After a while, my anointing lifted. And I knew after that, I would sing. So I said to her, I said, baby, I got to leave to the hotel now. She said, oh, you can go. And I said, thank you very much for releasing me. And when I told the driver, take me to my hotel. And I got in there. Thank God I did not sing. I was still anointed, but I knew that after 1 hour, if I stayed in that place, the way she was taking her time. Listen, when I want something, I go straight. I know what I want. I pick it. I pay for it, and I'm out. She knows what she wants, but there is this thing about women. They must take their time, figure it out, look into details, check it in and out and everything, and I don't have the anointing. I don't have the grace of that. Even like my grandchildren, when they come to me, after about some time, I don't know how long, after they ask me one or two questions, grandpa this, grandpa why this, and that, it gets to a point, and I'll tell them, call my daughters, come quickly, quickly. I have to go and pray, carry them away. I don't have anointing for that, and I know myself. I'm not going to pretend to be sweet and not. No, no, no. After a point, I know that if they don't leave me, I will sing. Yeah. I will just say, why all these questions? And sometimes they'll ask a question. I say, go ask your mother. Go ask your father. They'll tell you. Because sometimes I don't understand their language. But you have to face reality. And I know myself. I don't try to be over spiritual about things. Why are you looking at me that way? Look at the scripture. Numbers 13:33.
And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight.
You see, there are people and there are women that are attracted to abuse men. And I've dealt with a lot in my churches and in this house. Good women, for whatever reason, they don't like good men. I mean the right man. They like abuse men. And there are men like that also. They like women that will insult them, dishonor, disrespect, and abuse them. And it's all programming. It's coming from their upbringing and their past and where they've come from. And they don't even know why they act that way and they think that way. It's programming. And the fact that you end up always saying, I don't know why they treat me that way. I don't know why they think me. I don't know why. I don't know why. It has nothing to do with them. it has to do with you. It's your programming. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so were we in their eyes. It's your programming. It's the way you see yourself. It's your attitude that determines the way people treat you. If you are kind, people will be kind towards you. If you are mean, you will attract meanness. If you are gentle and you are nice, people will be gentle and nice with you. Whatever you think and you are programmed is what you attract. Numbers 14, 23 to 28. Numbers 14, 23 to 28.
Surely they shall not see the land which I swore unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoked me see.
You see? So, hear me. Anyone who can provoke God is very anointed. And carnal people are very anointed. Yeah. This is Almighty God. Slow to anger. What makes a man or a woman provoke God? God was provoked by unbelief. Doubting his word. Saying that he's a liar. He can't perform and deliver what he said. Even though they have proven that what God said was true, yet they said, even though your promise is true, we still can't take it. We can't handle it. There's this ongoing conflict and fight within us. It can't happen. It just can't happen. It doesn't matter if heaven comes down, it still will not work. Why? You are processed in a particular way. You are very logical. A logical person. You are wise scientifically. You got to see it. Faith is the opposite of logic. You can't act that way. You either have faith or you don't. It is what it is. We were in our own eyes as grasshoppers. Then they provoked God. And God said, you know, I planned this thing for you. I made promises to your ancestors to give them this land. It's yours. But I changed my mind. You provoked me. You angered me. I changed my mind. And God said, I am God, Adonai, Almighty. I have the right to change my mind about what I promise you. May we never provoke God. May we never go to the extent where God has to change his mind about what he promised us and give up on us. It's very scary. Look out.
But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it.
You see, he talks about, for Caleb, there was another spirit in him. He was spirit driven, spirit conscious. He didn't depend on logic. He didn't depend on what makes sense. Now find out that if you really want to walk with God, the Bible said, let him that want to be wise in this world become a fool that he might become wise. It's very serious. Yeah. You want to be wise in this world? Be a fool that you might become wise. And that is serious. Because sometimes we want that which makes sense. We want to be acceptable by men. We want to be in the good books of men. But I realize that if you really want to be accepted by God, sometimes you'll be misunderstood, misrepresented. Yes, I've seen it in my own life several times. That when I'm misunderstood the most are the times and moments that God is pleased with me the most. And I said, but why? Why should I be misunderstood by men to be pleasing in your sight? And he said, because my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts the thoughts of men. I see differently from men. What men hail and praise, and what men and women rejoice over and celebrate means nothing to me. Because my definition of success is different from man's definition of success. People can become successful by doing all kinds of bad and evil things, and men will accept it. But God said, I know the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end. You can't fool me. You can fool yourself, you can fool everybody, but you can't fool me. I was talking to a bishop friend of mine who called me yesterday, and we're talking, and he said some things. And I said, Bishop, let me tell you something. I said, Bishop, when you study history and you know history, a lot of things don't impress you anymore. And he said, you know what? That is deep. And I said, if you look at some of the wealthiest of our time, from the Gaddafis to the Saddams, and to some of the most wealthiest and richest of our time and our day, where are they? And where are their riches? I said, all of this is sinking sand. And it's when you don't know history, you are easily impressed. So many things don't impress me anymore because I've studied history. They rise and they fall. Where are the pharaohs of Egypt? The Nebuchadnezzar of the Babylonian Empire. The empires of Rome. The Hitlers of Germany. The Ahasuerus of the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great of the Grecian Empire. Where are they? They've come and they've withered as the grass of the field and as the flower that faded. And it has made me through history. I am not afraid of man, but I fear God. Because what we celebrate today means nothing tomorrow. For the grass withereth and the flower faded, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Put your hands together and give him praise. When you don't know history, you are excited and impressed easily. I'm not easily impressed. I'm not easily impressed. I am very different. What impresses people don't impress me. You know, I'm impressed by character. Yeah. I used to be impressed by gift, anointing, and provision. Those things don't impress me anymore. The other day when David sinned, he was in trouble. And David said something. He said, Lord, take my throne. Take my name. Take the palace. Take everything away from me. But don't take away the Holy Spirit. Don't take away your presence. You can have anything, but leave me with only one thing, the Holy Spirit. Because if I have the Holy Ghost and your presence, I will bounce back. You can have anything but the Holy Ghost. Oh Lord, I don't know about you, but that to me is what I call values. He understood that all that he had was a result of the Holy Spirit. And he said, you can have everything I have, but don't take away the Holy Ghost. Because as long as I have the Holy Spirit, I will bounce back. What is important to you in this life? Who are you? Why are you here? What will you be remembered of? And when you stand before God, I want to be proud. I want to be very bold. In the day that he appears in the clouds of glory, when I stand before him, I want to be able to say, Lord, I did all that you required of me. I did not live for myself. I didn't do my own thing. I did what you required of me. And that's why at the time of my peak in ministry, when I live in America, and the Lord said, pack your things and go back to Ghana. Go back to Ghana. Go back to Africa. Your people need you. That is where I called you to. I didn't call you to America. I walked away and left everything. And the Lord said, if you go to Ghana, if you go back to Africa, everything you have sought to have in Africa will come seeking you. And that is exactly what has happened. So much invitations to come, and I can't honor it. I tell my office, tell them I have a conflict. And they'll come and say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Recently, I have a very important invitation. Rosa was with me, and I told my bishop friend, I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. He said, but, and I said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. I said, it's a conflict for me. I don't feel it. And why are you in Ghana? Because Ghanaians are my people. Why are you in Africa? Because Africans are my people. I don't mean I'm not called to bless the world, but Ghana, Africa is my first love. Then comes the world, the rest of the world. I'm called to the body of Christ worldwide, but it begins from Ghana. It begins from Africa. This is where I belong. I know my calling. I am not confused at all about who I am and why I'm called. Please don't provoke God with doubts. I was telling somebody that when the Bible talks about the mind of Christ is a very simple thing. Very, very simple. It's not anything sophisticated. The mind of Christ is a very simple thing. Having an attitude of humility and being void of ego, pride, and self. That's all. That's all the mind of Christ is. Having an attitude of humility. Being void of, do you know who I am? How dare you talk to me that way? Who are you? You're nothing. And until we come to that place where we are void of self and of ego, and to the point where we don't have to defend our reputation. Jesus was of no reputation. We are too sensitive about our reputation, our name, and this and that. Too much arrogance in the church. And the reason why there is no unity among us is not because we are not gifted. It's not because we lack anointing. It's not because we lack charisma or provision. The reason for lack of unity is the lack of the mind of Christ. We don't have the mind of Christ. Because if you have the mind of Christ and I have the mind of Christ, we will learn humility. Humility. And it takes humility to repent. It takes humility to forgive. It takes humility to be humble. It takes humility to flow with others. When you even look at people who don't come to Wednesday services and they only attend Sunday services, they are not involved in anything. It's all pride and arrogance. Because the greatest sin of man is the sense of independence from God. I don't need God. I'm self-sufficient. Nobody is self-sufficient. We are interdependent. God never gave to any one person all that is necessary. We are interdependent. I have something you need. You have something I need. So we will always need one another. That is how God has made it. So this mentality of I have arrived, I am blessed, I'm better than this, I don't need you, is pride and is arrogance. And pride and arrogance will hurt you. Eventually, God himself will resist you. And somebody say, well, I have all these gifts and I have knowledge and I have the gift of prophesying. Hear me. Let me show you a scripture. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Reading from verse 1 to 3. Look at this.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not...
If I speak with the tongues of men and angels...
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love...
He said, if I possess all these gifts, and I don't have love... Right.
I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal.
You are just a noise. You are making noise. Right.
And though... I have the gift of prophecy and understand all these things.
I can prophesy and ye in kunya. Today people say, oh, have you heard of that guy? He's sharp. You can be sharp as much as you can be. Eh? Interpret all the mysteries of this world. If you do all that without the love of God, you are making noise. You mean nothing. So take it easy. Go ahead.
And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And
understand all mystery and all knowledge.
And though I have all faith.
And you have all the faith in this world.
So that I could remove mountains.
You can move mountains.
But I have not love.
But I have not love.
I am nothing.
I'm nothing. So don't talk to me about how gifted you are. How many times Jesus appears to you by the gift of descending of spirits. And now you know all things before they happen. And now you close your eyes now and you see everything. All those things don't impress me. The Bible says you can possess all those gifts. But if you don't have faith, you are nothing. You are nothing. If you don't have love, you are nothing. Look at Ephesians 3:19. Ephesians 3:19.
And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge.
The love of what?
Christ.
The love of what?
Christ.
Can somebody talk to me? The love of what?
Christ.
Which surpasses what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. He said the love of Christ surpasses knowledge. So don't tell me how knowledgeable are you. You stand there and you have the powers of articulation and you can speak. Break down the word line upon line, precept upon precept. You give us protext and pretext and context of text. If you do all that and you lack the love of God, which passes knowledge, you are nothing.
So that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
You can't be filled with the fullness of God without the love of God. You know something? I'm going to stop here. I'll stop here. I will finish this message, but not today. Another day will come. But I have a dream. I have a dream. I have a dream that in my lifetime, I will see Christians full of the love of God, exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, not the gifts of the Spirit. Working with long suffering, temperance, peace, joy, character. Are you hearing me? Kindness. Today we are not kind. We are mean towards one another. We sit in the same church and we hate one another. Sometimes you look at the facial expressions of people and you want to find, are they even born again? It's like your face is like that of a lion. You want to devour somebody. You're always looking somewhere. No peace, no joy, no long suffering. We're not kind towards one another. We're not gentle. We don't love one another. We have no peace. We have no joy. We are full of hatred, bitterness, unforgiveness, suspicious of one another, always fighting among ourselves. What kind of a Christianity is that? And yet, when we start to prophesy, my children, thus says the Lord. Last night, when you went to the club and you were drinking whiskey, I saw you. My children, repent, that says the Lord. And meanwhile, you have no love in you. Even your prophecy is full of hatred. Critical of everybody. Gifted, no love. Yet the Bible says, speaking the truth in love. Truth and grace came by Jesus. The law came through Moses. Turn it in my favor.
We know you are blessed by that word of God and look forward to you joining the messages of the Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams again. For more information on our events, books, and messages, please visit NDW Ministries online at www.ndwministries.org or call our offices on +1 877 361 5111. Once again, thank you for joining the Archbishop today, and may you continue to experience the life-transforming power of God's blessings.